The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Well, it was a busy week in the world of economic forecasting with figures coming at us from all directions. There was news of a fall in Eurozone inflation rates for the first time in 17 months on Wednesday, followed by yesterday's news that our GDP growth levels have again made Ireland the best performing economy in Europe, as well as figures from the Department of Finance, which showed another record increase in corporation tax receipts. While that might all sound very optimistic, the high cost of living and another expected ECB rate hike later this month suggests that consumers aren't likely to feel the positive effects of some of these trends in the immediate future. Well, to try and make sense of it all, I'm joined by economist Austin Hughes. Austin, first of all, this dip in the rate of inflation, of Eurozone inflation, and we are watching Eurozone inflation because what happens in those economies is an indication, you know, as to what might happen here. That dip, first in 17 months, does that suggest that the end is in sight of this inflation problem that we have?
It's certainly possible, and these data are encouraging, but most of the inflation we've seen over the last couple of years is driven by energy and, to a lesser extent, food costs. And who knows, in terms of the weather or, you know, the war in Ukraine, whether or not we could see more disruptions to supply that would push energy costs further and faster up over the coming months. So I think it's good news that it looks to be peaking, and barring something horrible happening in terms of energy costs, I think we will see inflation start to come down. But remember, inflation coming down doesn't mean prices are coming down. It means the rate at which prices are going up is easing back. So people are still going to feel a squeeze.
So I mean, when you say, for example, maybe inflation peaking, it's not even that prices are peaking, it's that the rate at which they're going up is slowing. And for example, I was looking at the budget speech from Pascal Donoghue there not very long ago, and he was projecting at that time, forecasting inflation to go up by inflation to sort of average out next year 7%. That was the sort of forecast figure at that time. So that's still a lot of rising prices between now and the end of 2023, if that figure proved to be correct.
These are scary numbers. You know, if people are feeling a squeeze and then they think prices are going to rise by 7% more next year, I would hope we're going to see a slower inflation rate based on what we know now about the evolution of energy costs. So far, so good in terms of that. And I think of an important element as well is that inflation has, you know, seeped through the system because energy and food are so important to the cost of living, the cost of production. But in most other areas, we're not seeing the sort of runaway inflation. So this isn't a replay of the 70s where my costs go up by 10%, so I raise my prices by 15%, so my workers demand an increase of 20%, and you see that sort of spiral. You're not seeing that. You know, we do have pressures in energy, we have pressures in areas like rents and that, but across the bulk of goods and services, you know, if you look, toy prices are down 4.5% on a year ago.
Food isn't softening in terms of the rate of inflation, is it?
Food is still continuing to rise
at an increased rate.
Yeah, this is going to be a pressure because we're still seeing, if you like, second round impacts of both the energy costs, which are feeding into the food production chain, and of course the transport costs that are hitting as well as just shortages. You know, so in those aspects, I think, you know, for most consumers, it's still going to be a very tough 2023.
And what about interest rates then, Austin? That Eurozone inflation figure, that will feed into the discussion about, you know, how much interest rates might well still have to go up. There's an expectation that they'll go up shortly by possibly 0.75%. Is it possible now that they won't have to go up by as much because that number is
softening? It is certainly possible they won't have to go up as much through 2023, but we're looking at an increase definitely in December. I think the rhetoric coming from some of the more hawkish members of the ECB suggests we're still more likely to see 0.75% rather than 0.5%. That there is this phrase that central banks keep raising rates till they break something. There isn't that sense that something has broken in the economy in the euro area. The Irish growth numbers were very good the last couple of days, but so also have been, you know, German growth numbers have surprised a little bit better. So I think you know, the ECB will probably raise rates too much through next year, because again, they're looking at an inflation rate now when the impact of interest rate increases will take 12 to 18 months to actually work on the economy. And of course, remember, the ECB don't control world oil prices. So to that extent, the rise in interest rates works by hurting other sectors of the economy and reducing, you know, or restraining prices there.
And when it comes to the performance of the Irish economy, you know, we had those figures out about our GDP, was it in the third quarter, up 2.3%. But modified domestic demand, which is a sort of a good indication of the demand within the domestic economy and people's spending on goods and services, that was actually down by 1%. And I noticed again, at budget time, the Minister for Finance was forecasting that next year modified domestic demand would increase by 1.25%. So that's quite a modest forecast, really, for next year that he had.
Yeah, we're going to see a slowdown in the Irish economy, a really marked slowdown. But I think that the issue is whether it's a slump or not. You know, we're talking about, you know, negative growth in the UK, probably in lots of parts of the euro area. We're going to see fairly modest growth. It's going to feel fairly tough for lots of businesses and households. But I don't think we're seeing a collapse in the Irish economy. And sometimes I think a lot of economic commentary as though, you know, the sun is either shining brightly or the end of the world is nigh. What these numbers are suggesting is it's not quite as nigh as some people are suggesting. It is going to be a tough year next year, but we will see growth in the Irish economy. We are seeing employment hold in as well, as you see in the tax numbers as well. So by and large, the Irish economy is weathering a very difficult economic storm reasonably well.
And a lot of that, you know, is coming from the performance of multinationals that are here, you know, that are selling goods and services all around the world. And we've had a phenomenal, almost unexpected run in the sense of the profitability of those companies in recent years, which is feeding into our corporate tax take and the Exchequer figures. And that's all been very positive. But if you look around at all of the risks out there internationally, is this super run by these big corporations going to last? I mean, there are businesses and people in parts of the world who buy their services and products, and maybe their order books are full now, but that's just a time lag.
Yeah, I think, as I say, we're going to see a tough 2023, really, and no one can say exactly where the next shock comes. But the performance of the multinationals has been a big surprise. And in the same way as we talk about a cost of living shock being very negative for the Irish economy, we've had this positive shock, which gives us the wherewithal to weather some of the storms. And in terms of the longer term outlook, will we have a world that has more technology in it? Almost inevitably. And we're well placed there. We're well placed in pharma. So there are elements in which the Irish economy has been weatherproofed. We need to do a lot more work in areas like housing, other elements of infrastructure. But the tax revenues, remember this time last year that the budget was forecasting a deficit of about 8 billion. I think it's going to be a surplus of 8 billion or more this year. So in those circumstances, we have the wherewithal. The big discussion that's not being had is how do we best use what could be a temporary windfall to weatherproof the economy better?
OK, we'll have to see how that plays out. And at least we may well hopefully have the resources to be able to help people who are struggling the most through the cost of living crisis that is there. Austin Hughes, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.